Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Program, where we reignite your passion, your purpose, and your play. Find us at www.hotpinkyou.com. Take it away, ladies.
Oh, welcome to a really special life class today. Welcome to Hot Pink University Blog Talk Radio Life Class with myself, Christy Bemis. I'm so excited to be here with you as an author, a speaker, a psychotherapist, and an Ignite Your Life coach. I'm also the co-founder and now solo owner of Hot Pink University. And recently, I launched a series of life classes on a variety of topics, hoping to ignite your life. And I invite you to find me on the web at www.hotpinkyou.com or on Facebook at Hot Pink University with Christy Bemis. You're always going to find things to inspire you to reignite your life with passion, with purpose, and always with play. Today, I am so excited about this topic. Raising a sex positive daughter. I hope that you are inspired as well as you listen in. As I was doing my notes and finishing them up for today, I'm really recognizing I might not get to everything. And so this might end up being a two-part series because it's such important information now more than ever to raise our daughters, raise their level of knowledge, of information, and we're going to talk a little bit about what sex positive is. So I hope that you have your journal and your pen because the Pink University Life Class, these are things you wish you would have known and what women need to know but weren't necessarily taught to us in our lifetime. So welcome today. We're going to just dive right in. And again, like I said, I have a ton of things that I want to share with you. And so I'm going to keep an eye on my time. These life classes are always around 30 minutes in length only, so they're great little snippets into more topics that I'd like to share with you. I also am working on a resource list from today's class with you on raising a sex-positive daughter, and that will be in the form of a blog. So how do you get access to those? Definitely go to the website at www.hotpinkyou.com. But also sign up for the email list. I have right now a free opt-in gift for those that are, honoring me with giving me your email address. And my newsletters go out about once a week, and they're always filled with great information and connections with other people that are in my own community of what I want to share, resources I want to share. And I often will raise other women up in my newsletter. So I encourage you to sign up for that because for today, I'll get to what I get to. We might do part two. We'll see. And I definitely am writing a blog and you get first access on my newsletter list of alerting you when that blog is done. And so anything I share, if you want to just sit back and listen and you don't want to take notes, that all of these tools and tips around raising a sex positive daughter and other blogs that I share will be on there. So diving in, what is the definition of a sex-positive daughter? I think a lot of people think, I don't want to raise a sexually promiscuous being. And what is sex-positive? And so when I was thinking about this for me, this is for me. And I share it with you as an invitation to consider. But I also I want you to consider creating your own definition for what is a sex-positive daughter, what is a sex-positive person, and use my definition for me, what I use, as a launching point. And there's many other definitions out there for sex positivity. This is just mine as a launching point for you. So I want you to think of if you are a parent of a daughter, whether you are a woman parent of a daughter or a male parent of a daughter, this episode is for you if you are confused in today's society about how to raise this girl with the right messages, right? So for me, what is sex positive? It's radical acceptance of others. And it also is being well-educated and factually informed as a woman around sexuality. and sensuality and pleasure and arousal and anatomically correct, right? It's also being very open-minded to diversity of options out there, that my approach to sexuality and that it doesn't have to be another person's approach. And raising a sex-positive daughter, the definition for me is that it's creating a woman who's confident in her approach to knowing what she wants and what she desires, as well as how her body works. That's super important too. So what would your definition be? I want you to consider whatever age your daughter is at right now. As she is growing into adulthood and becoming, we're all sexual beings and sexuality is a normal part of our life. Sexual drive is neurally connected to us. It's something we are born with, the drive, the wiring towards pleasure, towards sex, towards want, towards desire. And so de-shamifying these messages are super important. So I want you to think about, what would your vision, if your daughter was an adult and she was living a sexually healthy lifestyle, what would that be for you? And what would be healthy messages that you could be giving her? So sharing a bit about me growing up, my mom was very open and she was very honest about sex with me. And I knew in her, she was a place that I could go. And it was interesting for me that I think is super unique too, is that my grandfather on my mom's side was also a person who was dating. He was widowed early in life, in his 60s. And he was not shy to show the women that he was dating at various times affection. And I remember even once walking in after school and catching my grandpa making out with his girlfriend at the time on the couch. And just the fact that he wasn't embarrassed, he was just like, hey, I wish you would have knocked, or please ring the doorbell next time. You know, this is my home and you don't get to just walk in. And so it was a very, two people I knew in my life that I could go to, you know, with questions to support me. And not a lot of people have that. On the other side, there was my dad, and some of you can relate to this, where I love my dad, and my dad is a very, he was a very, you know, handsome man, 6'3", always took care of his own body, you know, dated when I was, after my parents divorced when I was really young, but my dad often would objectify women, and he kept Playboy magazines in the house. He, you know, tried to hide them, but I mean, they were there and up in the attic and in his, you know, private bathroom that he had in the basement. And he also had a lot of posters, like the Playboy centerfold poster. And later in my life, as I was growing up, and it was really, you know, he lived in his house, you know, with us raising his kids. You know, we were part-time with mom, part-time with dad. He would have these posters out in the main family room, and they were just there. And there was almost like this closed lip, almost boyish grinning approach to sex and women. And I believe, like many men, there was definitely a sex drive with my dad and a desire mixed in with a ton of shame, you know, and repression. If you want to know more, you know, about raising men or like the shaming message around men and suppression, I invite you to follow my friend and coach for men, Shayna James, who works with a lot of men over the years. She does this incredible job talking about it in her TED Talk and on her podcast, and you can find her at Shayna James Coaching. But when many of my friends were sneaking off to Planned Parenthood, I was supported by my mom at the age of 17 to get birth control. So it was a safe place for me to go and, you know, be who I am. So here's the thing. So we're going to get to what we can get to with about 20 minutes left in the program. I'm going to share my thoughts. And so get your pen and notepad ready. These are my thoughts about to-dos and to-don'ts with you today. And you can disagree with me. I'm open to that. But I'm hoping there's some valuable nuggets for you today to consider. So number one that I'm going to share with you is, what if you bought her first vibrator, age appropriate, 16 on up, let's say. And what I want to say to you is, say she's been using something she found in your house up till now anyway. And I like to, you know, say, you know, remember that back massager you got from Christmas and suddenly went missing? I think I know where you might find it, right? So what if you bought her one that is reasonable, that's safe, maybe even one that you encourage her that's non-insertable, and teach her how to clean it with soap and water after using, and to not insert anything up into her vagina or in her anus that doesn't have like a lip to stop it from going on up in there and getting stuck. What if you were the place that did that? What would that teach her? Number two, don't slut shame her. If she's coming to you with a story or a share or something she wants to share with you, she gets enough of the slut shaming from school, from other boys, from girls. Let her know that you're the safest place to get accurate and open information, and that you will share without judgment, even if your belief is that sex is for marriage and you should save yourself for the one. Trust me, there are other opinions that differ from your own out there, and she will find them from other places that maybe aren't safe, that maybe aren't loving, and that you can be that loving place to share or to not, but she absolutely needs you to be. And on the opposite end of the spectrum, if you are incredibly sexually open, and trust me, I've worked with women who grew up in incredibly sexually open houses, houses that, had nudity, houses that had open sexuality, and she's more reserved, let's say. Trust her to know herself and her body and respect where she's at in terms of sex, that your way is one way, but that there's other ways of being out there. Three, how about, and this is with sexuality, but with everything as a parent, what if we practice responding versus reacting? So here's the difference. Responding to something that's being brought to you or asked of you or shared with you is a trigger, is a non-triggered response. Maybe you were triggered in the initial, but you're choosing to slow the conversation down to get a grip on yourself and to respond in the best way you know. Reaction is very different. Reaction is triggered. It's coming from emotion. It's not calculated or equalized with logic. And reaction is not always our best response. It's not always our best ways of showing up or our best ways of being. So I like to share with parents the four questions I ask myself when I'm feeling potentially triggered. And when it's triggering around sex, I was triggered the other day around it where my daughter was sharing something with me and I could feel it. Like I could feel my body absolutely buzzing and feeling an upsetness and a feeling of, I have got to really watch what's coming out of my mouth. So the first question we ask ourselves when we're triggered as parents is feeling right now. What am I feeling right now and why? Why is this feeling coming up for me? When I was triggered in the car and I was upset, I was responding or reacting or potentially reacting as a mom wanting to protect her daughter, but I wasn't responding as a woman who wanted to be there to support her. So what am I feeling right now and why? The second question is, what is this person in front of me feeling, needing, and wanting? What's under there for them? And that is a super important question. The third question is, why am I being triggered today and maybe not yesterday, maybe not tomorrow? What about the environment might be affecting this? So you might be stressed out as a parent and this might not be the best time. Or you might be reacting right now about this because you're caught off guard and you need time. So the third question is, what about right now is causing this reaction? The fourth question then is, how do I best respond? And a lot of times that fourth question is what we think we're doing because we're reacting, but we haven't asked ourselves the other two questions. So my suggestion to you is respond versus react in these conversations, because a lot of them are emotionally laden. They're filled with maybe your own trauma experience around sexuality. They're filled with your own experiences of your own shame story. And so slow it down. And it is absolutely okay, no matter what the topic is, but especially around sexuality, to say, I don't know how I'm feeling about that. Can we pause this conversation for a minute, for an hour, for a day? I need some time to think. It is absolutely acceptable. I permission you to do that. Number four, emphasize private time, downtime, free time, alone time. In this world of absolutely overscheduled beings, we get totally disconnected from our bodies. And to be a sex positive person and to treat our bodies well and with health, we absolutely need to be connected to our bodies. As a psychotherapist, I spend a lot of my days in the cerebral realm in talk therapy, meaning from the neck up, I am like processing with people. From the neck up, I'm talking with people. And recently I've started studying with the Somatica Institute in California and really connecting my clients much better with their somatics, with their bodies, and where the stories often lie is our bodies. But if we emphasize with our daughters that you don't have to be overscheduled, you don't have to be on your electronics all the time, you don't have to be running around with your friends all the time, there's actually opportunities for downtime, and I'm going to provide those for you. In that downtime, they can have feelings of boredom, loneliness. Those are totally natural and normal feelings to have, but they can also spend that time connecting with their bodies in a new and different way. Number five is emphasizing the difference between privacy versus secrecy. And that privacy, what you do with your body in the privacy of your own bedroom is privacy. Secrecy is something that's been done to you or that could harm or hurt you. And there's a huge difference with that, that you get to have privacy, but secrecy is detrimental to your well-being and your health and wellness. And so emphasizing the difference in what those two things are in your home is super important for our daughters to learn the difference between the two. And that privacy, you can have private things that you have in your room. You can have private, you know, thoughts and feelings. You can have private relationships outside of our relationship with you. But secrecy is something is hurting you or you're keeping something potentially from me that is harming you in some way. And as your parent, I need to know. Okay, so emphasizing what the difference is. I want to talk a little bit about what sex positive is not. It's not promiscuity. It's not having your daughters like give their sexuality away or flaunting, you know, their bodies in any kind of way. What sex positivity is not is it's not promoting losing your virginity. I've worked with women whose very sexually open parent may be raised with repression themselves and wanting to do things differently, kind of like goaded their child or challenged their child into something that they weren't ready to do too soon. So sex positive is not about objectifying bodies or sex. It's not about also being disgusting, making respect comments, using disrespectful terms, sharing stories that, you know, are what our kids would say is gross. TMI, you know, too much information or oversharing about your current sex life with their, maybe with your partner, you know, that's not what sex positive is. It does not shame virginity or even if your child has the lack of desire or slow developmental sexuality to explore. What it is it's respectful of that individual's decisions and desires. So moving into number six, using age-appropriate disclosure and self-disclosure. And I have to think about this a lot as a psychotherapist. I'm always measuring, do I need to self-disclose at this time? Will it help the client in some way and connect? But I'm also thinking about that with my own kids. Absolutely need our stories. They need our stories around substance use. They need our stories around, you know, our own challenges, maybe some of our own regrets and our struggles. They also need our stories around our wins, inspirations, and our own pleasures, but they need to be age-appropriate self-disclosures. And they need to not be robbing the child of their own experience. Have you ever been in a situation where you're telling maybe a good friend something about yourself and all of a sudden they jump into their story, right? And it immediately shuts you down and it doesn't create connection, but truly listening and timing the story right. So asking yourself a couple of questions around self-disclosure. Is the story relevant to the situation that's in front of me? The other piece, though, is have I asked permission or created an invitation to share? So for an example, my son is often, he's in his 20s, he's often a big fat no. Like, I just don't want to know. And that is okay. Respecting his big fat no is completely and totally okay. The other is, and this goes back to what I shared a couple sentences ago, is have I fully listened to their story and fully listened to their need and not made this about me? And here's a key, parents, when you share stories. I love to share this question that you need to ask yourself. Am I good with my story being repeated to their peers, my current partner, or maybe an ex-partner? Maybe their parent that I'm no longer with. Am I okay with my story that I'm sharing right now potentially used against me in a fight? Because these are like little beings and they don't always have the coping skills to like manage conversation and negotiation. So if you shared a story that then is like something that's going to be used against you, are you okay with those words, that story coming back to you? Can you manage your own internal response around that story coming back to you? So super important. I think we're on number 7 now. Scatter books and resources around the house. One that I just recently ran across, and a lot of these tools and tips are coming from it, is called Scarletine, S-C-A-R-L-E-T-E-E-N. Really rich website with a lot of different resources. But I scatter books around the house that are, you know, informative, educational, and, you know, can be easily picked up and carried into rooms privately, can be put back on the shelf. I wouldn't even notice if it's gone, kind of thing. But I have a lot of these books and resources scattered around the house and just open. And so even if my son is a big fat no and does not want these conversations, you know, he can and has always been able to pick up any of the resources that I find to be really good. And I'll share them in my blog, some of the resources that I have around my house. And again, if you sign up for my newsletter, those are often shared in my weekly newsletter. Number 8, understand that conversations about sex are always invitations. I'm emphasizing, I shared this earlier and I'm emphasizing it again, they are permissioned, meaning they're invitations. Invitations can just as easily be not accepted. So a no, I'm not wanting to talk about this, or ew, I don't want to hear this, plugging their ears, any kind of those responses, that's a no. You don't have consent to continue on. So they're permission. They're also not lectures, and they're definitely not monologues. Monologue being they're not bi-directional. I share, you share. I ask a question, you answer. Like monologues, you get a tuned out response from them. And also these conversations, because they're invitations and they need to be permission, they can be stopped at any time and they require frequent check-ins. Are you okay keeping talking about this? Do you want to hear more? The invitation is out there. I'm sharing, but you can say no. Great places to have these invitations are cars where you're in parallel conversation with each other. You don't have to like be facing each other. I often have had the best conversations about any topic with my kids in my car. I also say on courts, like the basketball court, where you're playing and you're dribbling and you're talking. And often as a social worker and working with you know, kids and teens throughout my career, often the court was a place that I could have the conversation that we needed to have. And walks, where you're parallel, you're not facing each other, and it just feels less threatening. Number 9 is to deal with the emotional age of the child, not the chronological or life experience age. This is super important. If you had to determine what the emotional age of your child was, sometimes a 15-year-old acts like an 8-year-old, and sometimes an 18-year-old is still showing up very much like a 12-year-old, right? And so even though our child is at a certain chronological age, I'm always looking at what is the emotional age range of my child with this particular topic. And the age, emotional age range of a child can change from topic to topic. When I talk about life experience, sometimes our 15-year-olds have been exposed to things or have had experiences that a 20-year-old would have. It doesn't mean that their emotional age, though, is at that age. So be thinking about that. What is the emotional age of my child? There's some really great resources out there regarding emotional development, too, that you could Google. And number 9, diversity in models of romance, partnerships, love, and family. I often, all across since birth of my children, have used very gender-neutral thing. Are you taking someone to the prom? Who are you looking at going to homecoming with? It's never been my girl gets to date boys only. My boys get to date girls only, right? So very gender-neutral openness. And I often talk about friends in my life who are poly and monogamous, who are virgins into their adult years, who are lovers together and longtime married, people in my life who are gay and bi and straight. It's super important to show this diversity so that we de-shamify anything that's not the norm that's out there, right? Number 10, don't lie. Know what you know and research what you don't. Don't give just fear-based information or anecdotal things. Opinions are not facts. Like having the opinion that sometimes parents come in that all men want is sex and that they think with their penis. You know, even if you've had a bad experience, their experience can be way different than yours. And lying gets found out. Trust me, they will find out. Sex is a normal part of life, and unfortunately, our wellness models that are taught in schools and educational systems often don't. They're completely missing sex. So model sex and affection appropriately. You are a model of how you treat others and talk to others. They are looking at you. They are seeing you. And having informed consent conversations. Teach our kids how to have informed consent. They're difficult to have as adults, right? So share The Wheel of Consent by Betty Martin, and some of her resources on her website are incredible. Beautiful resources that you can use. We are out of time. I'm going to be sharing a piece that I didn't get to today. It's the last piece that was shared by a youth pastor that I think is super valuable and fun. I was going to read it to you, but I am completely out of time today. There's so much more that we could be talking about. And it would be great to have an episode, too, around our boys and raising our men, right, and how we're raising them. I encourage you to share with me any of your comments. Email me at hotpinkyou@gmail.com. I'd love to hear what you thought of my episode today. And if there's anything else I can do to support you, I encourage you to jump on a 30-minute phone call with me. I have at the top of my website a way to do that. Just a reminder, reach out. Thanks for joining me for another great 30 minutes of life class inspiration and knowledge. Find me at www.hotpinkyou.com. Join my email list and check out, you know, the different things that I share with you in my blogs and more episodes. I look forward to dropping in with you again next week. Thanks so much. As I wrap up my time with you, I encourage you to dream big. Live with passion, and as always, be hot.